serving a God that has ears and he can hear. We're serving a God that can talk.
Right.
We're serving a God that loves us. We're serving a God that cares about us. We're serving a God that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You're serving a God, amen, that the very hairs of your head are numbered. Amen. He knows how many hairs are there. You're serving a God that cares so much about you. Amen. He cares so much about you. In fact, I think it would be safe to say God cares more about us than what we care about ourselves. God knows more about us than even what we know about ourselves. Have you ever done or said something and thought, where did that come from? I didn't know I had that in me. Whether it's a good thing that you did or whether it's a bad thing that you did. Well, God knew that that was in there. God knows everything about you. There is nothing hidden from him. There is no secret that he doesn't know. There is no action that you do that he doesn't see. There is no thought that you think that he doesn't know what you're thinking. Man, my wife doesn't even know the thoughts that I think. That would be scary if she would know what I was thinking. I'd be like, oh my. Amen. But God knows the very thoughts that we're thinking. And then in the scripture, it also says, it's in one of the prophets. God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And here's what it said. They are for good and not for evil. God wants you to succeed in life.
Yes.
God wants to bless you in life. God wants you to have the very best while you're living here in this world. Amen. The creation that he made. God is nothing but love. And the enemy is a killer, a stealer. Amen. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus come that we can have life and we can have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures here. And the thought that we're going to share tonight is God is able. God is able. We all have had circumstances and things in our life, and you have, if you haven't had it yourself, you have met others and heard testimonies of others where you thought, that's a hopeless situation. That's going to be sure death for them. And then you watch it unfold and you see God move and work and bring a deliverance and a miracle and a healing for them, and you're still alive today to talk about it. There are hopeless situations that people have been in financially. Perhaps you have been in a hopeless financial situation yourself. You didn't know what was going to happen, but Jehovah Jireh, as we were singing tonight, he is my provider. Amen. He takes care of me. God is able. Sometimes I think we need to stop and realize who this God is that we serve, who he is. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, but he's more than a friend. Because a friend can only do so much to help you. Naturally, here in this earth, if you have any friends, that they'll help you and they'll do what they can, but they're limited. But this God that we're serving, he is able. He has no limitations. He has no point where, nope, I can't go beyond. I can't help you in that situation. So let's read these verses. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God, we pray that this word be blessed tonight. These thoughts that we're going to share tonight, let them be anointed by you. God, that we'll get an understanding and a glimpse of who you really are and what you want to do in our lives. So we thank you for it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. God has a purpose for everybody's life. God has a purpose for your life. And this God that we're serving, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We think, wow, wouldn't it be nice to be able to do this? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to do that? Wouldn't it be nice if this church were filled up? Wouldn't it be nice if there were a few more people in this church? God is more than able to give a few more people in this church. God is able to fill this church up so that we're going to have to go out and buy land somewhere and construct a new facility to worship in. That's the kind of God that we serve. There is no limitations with God. A short time ago here, I shared a message about don't put God in a box. We're the one that, and it was don't limit the Holy One of Israel. We're the one that limits him. We cut God short. What's your expectation of God? Is your expectation of God, this one that you're serving, do you know that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think? And so this verse here shows the magnitude of God's can-do ability. There's nothing that you can take to God. God's like, Sorry, you're going to have to go somewhere else. There's no help here for you. There's no help from me in that situation. That's not the kind of God that we're serving. He has that can-do ability. And this verse here tells us that it's not just above. It's not just exceeding above, but it's exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You sit there and you think, well, it would be nice if this situation would work out and we go into the dreamland. Like, I would like to see this situation in the family work this way and in harmony, and how wonderful and nice it would be. God can go above and beyond that. Amen. Above and beyond your expectation and what you think. Amen. God has thoughts towards us, and they're not of evil, but they're of good. God wants to bless us. And so it's above all that we ask or think. But the catch is, when we are asking and thinking according to His word, according to His word. Some people are foolish enough to grab a scripture like that to think, well, you know, I'm going to pray that God blesses me with a Porsche, a Mercedes-Benz, whatever it is. You fill in the blank. That's not what it's talking about. God's able to do that. God's going to bless me with my own jet so that I can jet around the country. That's not what this is talking about. It's not talking about that. It's talking about things that are according to the Word of God. Amen. It talks about it in the book of Psalms. You can claim the heathen for your inheritance. What does the heathen mean? Those that don't know Jesus as their Savior. God, I'm claiming my family for Jesus. I'm claiming that every one of them are going to come to the knowledge of salvation, and they're going to accept you as their own personal Savior. And when you start praying like that with your family, you perhaps will see them turn more ugly against you, turn more ugly against God and religious things. But in the Psalms, I think it's Psalms chapter 2 or Psalms chapter 1, it talks about them. It talks about something like that. That's praying according to the will of God, praying for the salvation of somebody's soul. Only if they would give their heart to God, that family member that you're praying for, they might not only give their heart to God, your expectation is that they would just give their heart to God, but it could be above that. They could come in and give their heart to God, and you would understand this saying here, they would give their heart to God, and they could be another Billy Graham. They could be another Billy Sunday. They could be another Smith Wigglesworth. But we look at people and think, only if they would give their heart to God, I would be happy. But God has great plans for people. Yes, yes. He has things that He wants them to do. And we shared it in Sunday school this morning. Yeah, but you don't know the past, the history of my family members. If they would just give their lives to God, I would be happy with that. That there could be great things that they can do for God. That Sunday school lesson that we have this morning in the adult class, that man that was born of a harlot woman, and his stepbrothers didn't want him in the family, and they chased him away and got him out of there, and he turned to evil men. He turned into an evil man himself, but he rose out of that. When the time of need came, he went back and helped his family, and he went back and helped his people, and God raised him up to be a mighty man. And even in the scripture, it called him a mighty man of valor. Amen. There's great things that God wants to do for His people. Amen. And so don't limit and think, my family members, they'll never become anybody. They're just a disgrace to society. And I'm almost ashamed to call them my family members. God can save the vilest sinner. Amen. God can save the one who says there is no God. Amen. That's the kind of God that we serve. And it's not just in those ways of salvation, but in those things that are impossibilities. There are sicknesses. Amen. And we used to sing that song, God, any rivers you think are uncrossable, God, any valleys or any mountains you need to tunnel through. And it goes on and says, in so many words, it's saying, but that's okay, because God specializes in things called impossible, and He'll do for you what no other one can do. Amen. But we need to realize that's the kind of God that we're serving. And we're not just serving God because He's that wonderful and great, but God loves us that much. We all have encountered someone who seems overwhelming to us. They're just overwhelming. We would so much. Have you ever seen someone that they're just such an individual, and you thought to yourself, man, if that person could just become a Christian, they could really do a lot for God. They got such charisma about them. They're such a likable person. They have talents. They have abilities. They could do so much for God. But as you encounter them, they just seem so overwhelming because they have arguments against you. And in reality, they have arguments against the Bible. They have arguments against God, and there is no God, and they don't want their children in church, and that they're slamming God. And this social media thing that we have today, it's nice in some ways for communication, but on the other side, it's not so nice because people, and I don't know why they do it, they bare their souls on this thing called social media. I mean, they just let it out. They just let the floodgates open, and they tell people how they think about things. And there are a lot of people in the area that we're living in the times that we're living, that they don't have the time of day, or have the time of day for God, or for spiritual things and spiritual matters. And you come against these people, not coming against them, but you spar against them because they are against you. They are against you. They seem overwhelming. And have you ever met a person that just overwhelmed you? Like, wow, it's almost like you look at them and think there isn't any hope for them. They're never going to become a Christian. I mean, I don't even know if God can help them. We begin to think that, and we begin to wonder, is there really help for them? And then you begin to wonder, can I help them? Amen. We would like to help them as Jesus helped those that he encountered. You're overwhelmed. Have you ever seen somebody with a sickness? Have you ever seen a crippled child? Have you ever seen a blind child? And it just overwhelms you. You'd like to go over and just lay your hands on them and let the eyes of the blind be open and let the crippled limbs be straightened out again. It's just like heart-wrenching to see some of the things that there is in this world that we're living. And you look at that and think, wow, it would be nice if I could go do the works that Jesus did. And we think about the works that Jesus did in the New Testament over and over and over again. Amen. When he come across people that were sick, that were in bad shape, amen, he made their lives better. He turned them around. He met that woman at the well. She was in a hopeless situation. We would look at somebody like that and say, there's no hope for them, because she's already been married 5 times. And the man she's with now isn't even her husband. And I wish that God could get a hold of her and do something for her. But man, their life is so messed up. I don't think there's any hope for them. We've all seen situations like that. And we would like to be able to help people. We'd be able to like to be able to help people as Jesus helped people. Amen. But we need to realize what God has done for us. And Ephesians 5:20 says this. It says this, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to thank God for the people that are in your life, for people that you have encountered in your life, those ones that are against you because you're a Christian, those ones that say things against you. You need to thank God that you encountered them in your life. And we need to realize this in those hopeless situations that we see in our life, and we're talking about this today. He is able. He is able. God is able. Amen. There's great power in God. There's great power in God. And we read that in Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 20. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. And so how do we get that power of God to work within us? How do we get the power of God? It would be nice to have the power of God like Peter and John did in about Acts chapter 4. Maybe it's Acts chapter 3. I talk about this often, but it's a powerful example of how the power of God can work in our lives. They were going down to the temple at the hour of prayer. So perhaps it was about 9:00 in the morning, and it was their custom to go there for prayer. And there was a man there, and they do it in the Dominican Republic yet today. In some other countries of the world, they do these kinds of things. They'll be sitting there, and they'll be shaking in your can, and they want some money, they want some help. And as Peter and John went down there, I believe that they seen this man before. It wasn't the first time they seen him, because I think the scripture tells us it was his custom to go down there, because that's where he got his livelihood. And he Peter and John were coming. He was a crippled man, and he was shaking his cup, and I'm adding my own interpretation here, and he was saying, "Alms for the poor, help me, help me. I'm crippled, I need help, I can't work, I need help." And it was just like any other day, but there was a power that came over Peter and John like hadn't come over them at any other time in their life. At least in that situation, they probably passed by that man many times. All of a sudden, something come over them, and they stopped in their tracks, and they looked at that man. And they said to that man, "Look on us." And that man looked at them, and he was expecting to receive something from them. He was expecting to receive silver or gold, money, something that would help him live. And this power of God began to work in Peter and John. And they said, "We don't have silver, we don't have gold, we don't have money. But what we do have, we give unto you." And they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And they grabbed him by the hand. And that man stood up, and he was leaping, and he was walking, and he was praising God. And he went into the temple, and he was causing a ruckus in there. And it was a great opportunity for Peter and John then to be able to give the testimony of the power of God. That kind of power wants to work within us. And it's not a kind of power that you can just turn on at will. You know, you see somebody that's in need, and I can just go over there almost like I have a magical power and I can make them better. Amen. It has to be in the will of God and the timing of God. But Peter and John were in tune. They were in the Spirit. Amen. And so we need to unlock that power that is within us. Amen. We need to unlock that power. We need to unleash that power. And in the age that we're living now, we can use this terminology, and it's understood. 20 years ago, it wouldn't be understood. But we need to upload, amen, we need to upload the power of God in our lives. We need to download the power of God, upload, whichever way you want to look at that. I don't know what the difference is between upload and download. I'm not that good at the computer phraseology. Amen. But we need to have the power of God. You can tap into the power of God. Yes, you can have such an anointing about you. And it's said of one of those others, and shame on me for not knowing which one it was, but one of those evangelists of old times. And I've shared this example many times. He would go into towns and villages. He would hold revival meetings there. Well, he was there throughout the day. They would do their best to try to entertain them and not just leave him sit alone. And it's said that they took him to one of the factories in the city that he was preaching a revival in, and they took him into that factory place just to see the different machinery and the items that were being manufactured and so on and so forth. And as he was taking this tour, it said that he wasn't even saying anything to those people, but just by his mere presence in that place, there was such a power about him that it said those men that were working in that factory, beside their machines, they would fall down on their knees and they would repent of their sins and give their hearts to God. They felt a convicting power, amen, of God in their lives just by the presence of this man being there. That man somehow found the secret of being tapped into the power of God. There's no limit on what God can do. We are the ones that limit God. We become content with the little bit that we know and the little bit that we have. Amen. And if it's a little bit of God, it's a whole bunch to us. We feel so good and so wonderful and so content with what we have. But God wants his power to work in you to help others. Yes, amen. And so we need to think of it this way. God can do. And that's in verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God can do, and we can do it all. Amen. We need to put believing into action. Dare to walk bravely for God. When somebody makes mention of you, of a situation and a need that they have, why not grab their hand right there and say, "Let's pray. And in the name of Jesus," because it's God that does the work. It's not you that's doing the work. Yeah, you're going to feel unworthy. Yeah, you're going to feel like, "I don't even know if I'm in the place with God where I should be." There's going to be all kinds of thoughts that'll enter your mind. But stand out there and bravely stand up for God and say, I'm going to pray about that situation with you. People come and they talk and they tell you of dilemmas and situations that they're facing in their life, and they don't know what they're going to do. We need to walk bravely and tell them about the God that we're serving. Amen. As they did it in the book of Acts. And I talked about Peter and John already. And we have many other examples there, the highlighting ones, the ones that we all know about if we've been around for a while. There was Paul and Silas, amen, who were falsely accused, falsely persecuted for preaching the gospel. And not only falsely accused, if we get a false accusation against us, we feel like, you know, we've been killed, like it just takes the steam out of our, or the wind out of our sail, and it's like, I'm not going to say anything for Jesus. Not only were these men falsely accused, but that great power of God was working so great in them, they were taken and put into a prison, and I believe they were beaten. They were falsely accused. It wasn't a right accusation that was held against them, but yet in the midnight hour, when he was in that prison, and prisons back in that day weren't luxury like they are now, because I hear some of the things that go on in the prison systems that we have now, they get treated pretty good in there, but they weren't being treated right. But in the midnight hour, instead of saying, woe is me, man, we should have just kept our mouth shut about this Jesus thing, and we wouldn't be in this situation. It says that they sang praises unto God, and as they were singing praises unto God, it caused the power of God to move. God dwells in the praises of his people. When you're in that difficult situation, just begin to praise God. Not thanking God for that problem, but say, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for your faithfulness in all things. God, you're so good to me. I just can't believe how good you are to me. And see what the hand of God might do. And as Paul and Silas were doing that, there was a natural phenomenon that took place. There was an earthquake that took place. What good can come out of an earthquake? And the guy that was in charge of that jail running out, and he was all worried because if any of the prisoners escaped, that man would be killed, and he was ready to put a sword through himself. And Paul and Silas says, don't do yourself any wrong, we're all here, none of us have escaped. Amen. And just picking up at the end of the story, that jailer then said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have this God that you have? Amen. Do people see a powerful God in you that they want that God that you're servant, or do they see a God in you that's like, I don't even know if that God's alive. He's sort of dead. He's sort of, you know, but it depends on how we walk before God. And they said unto him, they said to that jailer, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he believed, and it was his whole household. And I believe that very night it talks about it, and they were baptized. Amen. Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The power of God was able to flow through Paul and Silas when they were in a dark hour of their life. And if you're in a dark hour of your life and you're wondering, where's God in my life? God can still work through you to help somebody else. First thing we must do, we must realize that God is the source of power. God is able. I do what I can do, but I'm limited on what I can do. I do what I can do, but God is able. He's the source of power. Amen. And so the first part of this verse, what does it talk about in verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 3? It talks about God's unlimited ability to supply all the power that we need. It's unlimited. He can do it. It says God is able to do. God can do. Nothing is too hard for him. We sing that song, nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. And da 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 da. Or what you are, and I don't know the words, but nothing is too difficult for thee. It goes on and on and says that. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too big or tough for God. He's a can-do God. Amen. Yeah. Present your situation to him. Oh, God can do it. God is able. How able is this Ken to God? Amen. God is. Amen. He is able. Luke 1:37 tells us this. Nothing shall be impossible To him that believeth, nothing is impossible. There's no family member. It keeps going back in that direction tonight. But by the guidance of the Spirit, there's no family member that's an impossibility. God can save to the uttermost. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve. Nothing shall be impossible to him that believeth. Impossible things with men are possible things with God. Well, I'm about done, give up. I'm not going to pray about it anymore because I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and it's been years that I've been praying and I guess it's the will of God that it's not going to happen. We sing that song, don't give up on the verge of a miracle. Amen. Don't give up on the verge of a miracle. You don't know when God's going to move and what he's going to do. Impossible things with men are possible with God. In Romans 4:21, it says in so many words, anything God promised, he is able to perform it. Sometimes people have promised their kids things that they're not able to carry them out on. I never did this with my kids. Two of them are here tonight. They could testify to this. I never promised my kids that I would take them to Disneyland. Because I knew I couldn't take them to Disneyland. I couldn't afford something like that. But there's parents that will make promises to their children that they can't do and they can't carry out. Well, this Heavenly Father that we're serving, anything that he promised us, he is able to perform it. Not just able to perform it, exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And that can-do ability is seen in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We go out there and we look at this heaven and this earth and the beauty of this earth. The God that we're serving, the God that saved us, he's the one that created all of these things that are out there. He's the one that created this universe. It was just in the news yesterday. One of them telescopes they have out there is looking farther beyond of anything that they've ever seen. And there's some images that they're catching. And the ones that thought they knew things are like thinking, they don't know anything anymore about the vast universe that is out there. This God that we're serving created this universe. That little song, we don't sing it anymore, but it is a reality. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. And it goes on. He has us in his hands. He proved his ability. He proved his power. This world, this earth that we're living on, God that we're serving spoke this into existence. Amen. He says, let there be heaven, let there be earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. And he divided the land from the waters, and it was all water, and he created the land. Amen. And he made the night, and he made the day, and he made the land, and he made the animals and the mountains and everything that we see. So we've seen the power of God. God created the heavens and the earth, and no one knows how big this universe is. We don't know the vastness of this universe that we're living in, and the power that God supplies is unlimited. Is unlimited. Yes. We bought a generator and we use it when we go camping, and it's got some numbers on it, and those numbers indicate the limit of the power that that generator has. God doesn't have any limit on what he can do. Amen. God is able. Amen. We can see the power of God to raise Jesus from the dead. To raise Jesus from the dead. There's no other power that can equal the God's power and ability. There's some powerful things out there. And I'm not giving glory to Satan tonight, but sometimes we don't want to talk about it. But Satan has his power. The power of Satan is real. And it's a scary, sick feeling. And you can see the things that Satan can do. And you can get into the study of God's word, into the book of Revelation, and you can see some of the things that are going to happen in the last days that the power of Satan has the ability to do. So he has power to do a lot of things, but God's power is greater. And that's the God that we're serving. Amen. There's no other power like God's power. There's nobody that has the ability that God has. And we can think about the plagues. Amen. Whenever they were down in Egypt, we can can start right there. How that the witches and the wizards there were able to do a lot of things. A lot of the plagues that God caused, they were able to make copycats of those things. That should send a chill down your spine, realizing that the devil had that kind of power to do those things too. So everything that looks like a God phenomenon might not be God that's doing it. And then in the book of Revelation, if I'm not mistaken, in the last day, there's going to be false prophets, and they're going to call fire down from heaven. And we would think, if I was able to go out there, and I was able to call fire down from heaven, you would think that must be a man of God. But we can't be deceived by those things. But we don't want to do away with the fact that, amen, that there's no God like our God. The parting of the Red Sea. And it's been proven. Oh, that's just a fairy tale. People will talk about that they were foolish to believe it. But they're finding things in the bottom of the Red Sea. They're finding chariot parts. They're finding wheels and things in the bottom of the Red Sea that they don't have an explanation for it. And the only explanation that they can give for those things being there is if they go back into the Old Testament and read about the parting of the Red Sea. And it's like, yep, right there it is. And it has to make them wonder, maybe this book really is true. Maybe there really is a God. We know that there is a God. He parted that Red Sea. Amen. The God of impossibilities. The slaying of Goliath when David went out there. That was an impossibility. There was a whole army that was afraid to go and fight that man. He had him at bay for I don't know how many days. He'd come out every day at a certain time. Time chirping to them, come on over, send a man to fight me. And if he kills me, we'll all be your servants. But if I kill him, and then you're all going to be our servants. And it was an impossible situation that they were in. But God sent somebody along that didn't look like he would be able to do anything. Didn't look like he would amount to a hill of beans compared to that giant. But the power of God worked through that little boy who was probably 17 years old at the time, they say. And then with the power of God worked through that young man, then he was able to go out there and kill that giant. It wasn't David that killed him. It was the power of God working through David. Right. Amen. There's no limit in the power of God. Peter in the New Testament, when Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter, he was all taken up. He was taken up into the spiritual, into the heavenly. Jesus, if that's really you, bid me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come to me. And Peter, he got out of that boat. He didn't even realize that he was being such a Pentecostal at the time. He was walking right on that water. And then when he realized what he was doing, he began to look around, and then he began to sink. And then he said, Lord Jesus, save me. Jesus grabbed him by the hand. There's no limit on what you can do. If there comes a situation in your life where it's a difference between life and death, God can give you the talent and the ability to be able to walk on fire, and it won't burn you. The talent and the ability to be able to walk on water, and it won't burn you. Amen. He can give you the talent, the ability, and the strength to turn a car over if it needs to be turned over. Amen. To save somebody that was under it. That's the kind of God that we're serving. Amen. We limit God, and we think, can God do this? Amen. The many miracles of Elijah and Elisha in the Old Testament, you can read them in the book of 1 Kings. You can read through there. And it's unlimited, the power of God, the miracles that were done there. Amen. The earth opened up in the Old Testament. There were some people that rose up against Moses. And God only talks to you, Moses. Moses, we want you to know that God talks to us also. And they were standing up against Moses. And they were being rebellious. And God opened up the earth and swallowed up. And if I'm not mistaken, in that one day, 20,000 people were swallowed up in the earth and they went to their grave. That's the kind of God that we're serving. I don't want to mess around with God. I don't want to see the wrath of God falling on me, but it shows you the power of God. Amen. The power of God. The story of Jonah. Well, that's just a fairy tale. That's a good little story for children, but I believe it really did happen. In the Old Testament, there was a donkey, a mule, that talked to the prophet because the prophet wasn't doing what God really wanted him to do. And he started beating on that mule because God put an angel in the way, trying to block the way that this prophet was going. He didn't want him to go. The prophet was determined. And that donkey could see that angel with that sword in his hand. And the donkey kept banging up against the wall that was next to him on the side of the road that he was on. And it was hurting the prophet. And he got angry with that donkey. And he started to whip his donkey, which I probably would do too. Amen. But that donkey, through the power of God, the Bible tells us, man, if that happened to me, you know, what has to happen to you for you to believe that there's really a God? It might take some people to have an animal turn around and talk to them. That donkey turned around and talked to him, and he said so many words, man, what are you beating me for? There's an angel standing there. He's blocking our way. We can't go that way. And then the prophet was enlightened, and he was able to see what was going on. God's power is unlimited. God has a way of getting our attention. We talk about these often. There's Daniel. There's the three Hebrew children. There was the prophet, or not the prophet, there was the leader Naaman, and he needed a miracle from God, and God gave him that miracle. And all he had to do was go. He had a leprosy. He had a terrible disease that none of us would want. And all he had to do was go down to the River Jordan and dip in that River Jordan seven times, and he was going to be made whole. And he was a man of stature. He was a man that had a place in his society. He was a government official, and he thought, man, I'm not going to go down there in that Jordan River. It's a dirty, muddy river, and he wants me to go dip in that river. That's an insult to me. And he started heading home, and one of his servants talked to him. He said, man, if he would have asked you to do thus or so, you would have done it. All he's asking you to do is go down and just dip in that river. You know, maybe you just need to do it. They probably didn't quite say it this way. You just need to humble yourselves. Go dump in that river. Go dip in that river those seven times and see what will happen. And he turned around. He went back to that river and he dipped in it seven times like the prophet told him to do. But it wasn't the prophet. It was God. And his leprosy was clean. He had like baby skin again. That's the kind of God that we're serving. We don't want to limit what God can do. And there's many miracles that Jesus did that's recorded in the New Testament. Yes. So what is it that you need in your life that's a hopeless situation? You've given up. I've prayed. I've waited. I've fasted. I've gone to numerous men of God. Been to numerous services. Took the request to the Lord in prayer. We sing that song, leave it there, take your burdens to, and I've done it, and I've done it, and I'm in the same situation, and it's just like I'm banging up against the wall, and nothing's ever going to happen. Don't limit God. God wants to help you. And we're not going to look into all of them. Amen. We wouldn't have time, but the miracles of Elijah and Elisha. And the bottom line is this: don't limit, and it's foolish if we do it. Don't limit a limitless God. God has no limits, but we limit him. He can't do it. Sister Bonnie, you can come down to the music. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. I know we sang this song this morning, but let's sing it tonight. That thing that you need, we're going to sing God Can Do It Again and Again and Again. That thing that you need from God, I want you to reach out in faith tonight. I don't care how many times you've prayed, and it seems like there's no solution, there's no answer. And we were singing about it tonight. What a friend we have in Jesus. Take those things, take those heartaches, take those burdens, take those questions to the Lord, because we're serving a limitless God. Amen. God can do again what he did yesterday. God wants to help you in the situation that you're facing today. There's nothing worse than being so frustrated you just don't know what to do next. And sometimes we get to that point in our life. We're just so frustrated. It's like, what can I do next? Have you taken it to the Lord in prayer? Well, I got myself into this mess and I need to get myself out. Where's that at in the Bible? Amen. You might have got yourself in the mess, but you need to say, God, I've got myself into a pickle here. I need your help to get out of this situation. Amen. God can do it again and again and again. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. As we sing this tonight, and you present your petition to the Lord tonight. And don't think, well, it's such a small thing. If it's something that's bothering you, it's a big deal to God too. It's a big deal to God. So take it to the Lord. Amen. And leave it there with Him and let God work in your life. Let's stand and sing this tonight. God can do it again and again and again. He's the same God today as He always has been. Amen. Oh God.